and welcome to Climate Queens. This is a podcast to raise awareness about the effect that we as humans are having on our shared planet and what we can do about it. We'll be covering everything from what even is global warming, fast fashion, the minefield that is recycling, and everything in between.
We are no experts, we are just two Dublin gals who met volunteering and have been best pals ever since. So who are we? Katie is obsessed with the outdoors, with a background in food marketing, but her ultimate passion is to save the world one step at a time with a cup of tea in hand.
You know me so well. And Claudette is a plant-loving, social entrepreneur, climate activist, who is a big fan of hot beverages also, and sea swimming. So join us on the last Friday of every month to channel your inner climate queen. And don't forget your cup of tea
or coffee.
Hi, I'm Katie.
And I'm Clodagh.
Welcome to Climate Queens. You are so very welcome to episode 2. We are extremely excited to be back recording after our first episode. We really had such great comments and feedback from all of you over the last month. We are buzzing. Thank you so much for listening and for tuning back in with us. We really are so much looking forward to this next episode. We wanted to start with some good news stories because so much has happened in the last month. So Claudette, take it away.
Okay, so Ireland is now the second country to declare a climate emergency after the UK, which is amazing.
Woohoo!
But obviously, we need some action from the government.
Side note.
Greta Thunberg has graced the cover of Time magazine, which is really great. It means the climate movement is spreading. And our favourite one is that 7 million acres of land has been saved in the Amazon rainforest by an Amazonian tribe, which is incredible. They just defeated an oil company who were going to cut down the forest and drill for oil. So now 7 million acres. Woo! Saved.
So that was kind of just a very quick, speedy roundup of the last month. So if we look at our last episode, we spoke about fast fashion and what we're putting on our bodies. But this month we'll be talking about what we're putting into our bodies. So
tasty food.
More importantly, food waste.
Okay, so yes, we have been on quite a journey, myself and Katie, just researching for this episode. So really, we'll be looking at the journey of our food and the impact that it's having on our environment, all the way from the farm to the fork. So are you ready for the hard-hitting fact of this episode?
Okay, let's take a collective deep breath in.
Okay, so one third of food is globally wasted every single year. Just let that sink in. One third of all the food produced is being wasted every single year.
I think we can so easily get caught up with like millions, trillions, tons of this, that and the other, but like one third kind of hits home a bit.
Yeah, like, I mean, imagine a pizza slice and a third of that pizza, you just take it out, like
gone. Yeah, and apparently if food waste were a country, it would be the third largest emitter of greenhouse gases after the US and China.
That is bananas.
I know. So overall, I think we've realised anyway, over the last few weeks of researching this, that there's just a massive disconnect between the journey of our food in terms of kind of like where it comes from, but more importantly, where it's going. As you were saying, Clodagh, over a third of food is wasted globally every single year. But then if we look at kind of food poverty and food insecurity, there's over 800 million people who are experiencing food poverty in the world.
It's just unbelievable when you think of it in that scale, like the amount of food that we are creating, it could actually feed all of those people, like 800 million people twice every year with that one third of food wasted.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely insane. But if we were to kind of make it more of kind of a localized view, so in Ireland, we're actually wasting 1 million tons of food a year.
What?
Yeah, I'm again laughing, but it's not even funny.
Nervous laughter.
Yeah, as per usual with me. But so obviously 1 million tons is another one of those things. It's like, but what does that even mean? But if we take Croke Park, for example, that's filling the Croke Park Stadium twice to the top, which...
So every year Ireland fills Croke Park twice with food wasted. That wasn't even food wasted, food that could have been eaten. that we have decided to waste.
Yep, pretty much. We're going to delve into like a little bit more about how that all happens very soon. But again, you know, 1 in 8 people in Ireland are experiencing food poverty. So, and in terms of food insecurity, and when we say food insecurity, it's basically a lack of access to, you know, healthy, nutritious food. So, you know, how is it that we've got so much wasted food, yet there's people who are struggling to actually get, you know, nourishment and food. So, oh God, yeah. I'm already needing a walk, Loda.
I know. it is that big, but I guess that's why we're here and we're all learning and on a journey together. So I guess if we dig into what is food waste.
Yes. So please, we need to know what actually is it all about.
Food waste isn't like the mold rotting food. It's actually good food that we're wasting. And like we have decided that it becomes waste. And I guess it's important to differentiate that there are two main areas of food when it comes to waste. So there's food waste and there's food loss. Okay, so food loss happens basically between production and retail. So from when you're growing the food on the farm and then basically from the farm, how it gets to the local store. So that is food loss. And food waste happens between consumption and retail. So from the supermarket to ourselves.
Okay, so let me just get this straight. So food loss is mainly on the farms. And
yes.
Okay, and then food waste is more supermarkets and then us and what we do in our homes.
Yeah, absolutely. So 40% of food waste actually happens in developing countries, more so on the farm. So this is more kind of infrastructure problems. So if you think of like lack of food preservations, like refrigerators, you know, how the food is kept like fresh, essentially.
So a lot of the time it's actually not really their fault.
No, but this is food loss. So before it even gets to the store, this could be like lack of access for proper roads. And as we know, food is perishable. So this has a huge impact on the food and it's, you know, adding to the delivery time. But if we look at Ireland as a developed country, 40% of our waste happens between the retail and the consumer. So it's basically our choice that we're wasting food. And it's just really important to note that I guess waste is only waste when we decide to waste it. And that is a quote from will.i.am.
I was like, I knew you were going to get in some sort of cheesy quote at some point.
He's a wise man. Think about it. It's something only becomes waste if you waste it. Like think of your last meal and the scraps on your plate. I'm sure they were perfectly fine to eat, but you decided it was waste. So I think that is kind of reframing and rethinking our approach to food, right?
Yeah, exactly. And actually, while I was researching this, I came across an article and research that was done in the UK. So apparently 16% of crops grown by farmers are wasted for a number of different reasons, which I'll get into now. But this 16% actually equates to enough fruit and veg to feed 250,000 people. So that would be enough to feed half of Dublin City, they're 5 a day, every single day for a year.
That is incredulous. I mean, 5 a day, who even made that up? I don't know. Is that health and safety?
I know. Well, actually, that's a really good question. I don't have the answer to that right now.
Okay, we'll come back with that.
Yeah. But in terms of like why the 16% exists, it actually is down to the supermarkets and the demands that they're placing on the farmers. So there's an overproduction of crops to meet buyer orders that they have set. Then there's just food that's left after harvest. For example, you know, like not all the food has actually been collected, so it's just being left there to rot. And also like things like, you know, for example, celery, it's cut at either end and that's still perfectly good food to eat, but it's just left there. And then also something that really bothers me is food is rejected because of cosmetic standards. It's just like
the beauty industry has taken its way into the food market.
Exactly. So, for example, bananas have to be a certain diameter. They have to be between like 6.5 and 8 inches.
Okay, so size matters, people.
What? So, oh, jeepers. But yes, it does when it comes to bananas. And this is actually across the board in terms of specs, you know, like peaches have to be perfectly round and all that kind of thing. So if they don't meet these cosmetic standards, they're rejected. So like supermarkets just in general are really calling the shots. They think that consumers want this because it's kind of like, which was it, you know, the chicken or the egg? But in the end of the day, they're demanding this because they think consumers want perfection.
I mean, I'm fine with a wonky carrot, you know, like it still tastes exactly the same. It's just literally, as you're saying, they are calling the shots. And you were saying this is called ugly fruit, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I think this kind of links into what we were saying about like losing that connection to the journey of our food. Because if we had, you know, apples growing in our back garden and they fell off the tree and they were heart shaped or they had, you know, just they weren't the perfect circle, we'd love to eat them.
Yeah, they've got character.
Exactly. But for some reason, we just see supermarkets, you know, as this standard of perfection. So we're going to be talking all about that and embracing the ugly fruit.
So supermarkets are really sneaky. Okay. And after Katie was telling me about these articles that she's researching, I actually noticed that in my local Tesco, I walked in, it's like a Tesco Metro or Tesco Express, so it's quite small. But I always noticed the smell of fresh bread. Okay. So I'm like, lovely, tasty, you know, in the morning. And then I realized there is no bakery in this Tesco.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I was like, what is going on? Like, they literally are tricking us on every level.
Mm-hmm. I know. And once you kind of realize the little, you know, mechanisms and the psychology behind what they're doing, you become such a cynic walking into a supermarket. So like, for example, you know, like Clodagh just said, you've got the beautiful freshly baked bread smells as you walk in to make you hungry. You've got flowers at the front to kind of make a lovely ambiance that you feel comfortable, like, oh, this is so pretty. You know, you've got your trolleys. One tip would be like, try your best to avoid trolleys because the bigger space you have, the more you'll fill. You know, it's like packing for a holiday. If you've got space, you're going to fill it.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, fill the void.
Yeah, exactly. Then you've also got the way supermarkets work. They keep everything that's relatively heavy down the back of the shop and especially things like that. Things you need. So you've got milk, you know, frozen food, you've got your chicken and your meat. So they draw you into the supermarket. They also have tinned food, all that kind of thing in the middle. So they're drawing you into the middle of the store. And then they've got the sneaky, sneaky things, which are the 2-for-1 deals or the bargains that you think you're getting. So it's like maybe 2 broccoli heads for the price of 1. But actually, more often than not, you end up just throwing out.
Yeah, you think you're getting a deal. You're like, that sounds great. If we're wasting our food, you're just literally throwing it out. I couldn't get over what you were saying about the baskets. I never had thought about this before. In the supermarkets, I'd always have like my tote bag. I actually just use that myself and I fill that. So I'm like, if I'm walking to the supermarket, I'm like, well, if I can't fit it in the bag, it's not coming with me. That's kind of my thing now. But Katie was saying that your baskets now have wheels on them. Mm-hmm. So you're not realizing how much you're putting in or the weight of it. So they're making it easier for you to put more things in, but they're making it harder for you to like navigate your way through the store. They want you to cover every like square meter.
Exactly. So they also say that you should to try and avoid this. I swear people are gonna after this like walk into a shop being some sort of like ninja. Yeah. Like, oh yeah. But they do recommend that you kind of shop a supermarket backwards because that helps like avoid all of those traps. Another thing as well, if you've got kids, they tend to keep a lot of the like confectionery stuff and, you know, kids related stuff at their eye level. So where possible, you know, leave them at home.
Even on your way, like, I mean, it's very clever. I mean, well done to the marketeers. But as you're queuing, there's just like this whole array of, you know, chocolate bars. And there's like a lot of your 2-for-1 offers are there, right?
Yes. So they are out to get us at every turn, it seems.
Okay, well, another thing that I found super confusing when I started thinking about it was the use by dates, sell by dates, best by dates. What is it all about?
So many dates. Yeah, okay. So here in Ireland, we mainly have use by and best before. The main difference between those is use by is for perishable food. Best before is for non-perishables. Let's go with use by first. Anything after the use by date on, let's say, meat, fish, salad, dairy products, means that this food really isn't very safe to eat, so it wouldn't be recommended to eat food after its use by date. However, best before dates, which makes it very confusing, means that, you know, food manufacturers want you to have the best experience with their food. So they're saying, you know, the maximum freshness and best quality that you'll get from our product is by this date, if that makes sense.
Yes. So what would some examples of best before dates be?
So we're looking at our tinned foods. We've got, you know, your dried goods. So if you're looking at any sort of like flour or, you know, dried soups, and then you've also got things like grains, rice, pasta, all packaged, things like that.
Okay, so if you ate that, you know, a few days after, it's not going to hurt you, right?
Oh, as in like, very much so. You're totally grand. I think with most of these things, it's like, sniff it. Give it a little sniff and see.
Okay, so these are guidelines. Best before are guidelines. Use by is more, take it seriously.
Exactly. A plus.
Okay, so we know the food is being lost at farm level. The supermarkets are out to get us to buy more. But speaking of supermarkets again, we haven't even gotten into what they waste themselves. And just for researching this, Katie recommended a great documentary to me called Just Eat It. And it basically tracks a couple and they are on a mission for 6 months to only eat food that is going to be wasted. The only exception, I think, was if they were at a friend's house that they could cook them dinner and they wouldn't refuse it, because obviously then that would become food waste. And in it, I mean, I was so shocked to see the size of the food bins outside of your local supermarkets of things that were actually in date before the best before dates. And just like, you know,
I know, it's crazy. And do you remember the part of the documentary where they actually set up their own supermarket in their house with the amount of food that they've picked up that's been wasted outside of supermarkets? And like, one thing that really stuck in my mind, do you remember that massive container of hummus? There was like thousands of perfectly good.
Yeah, there's only so much hummus one person can eat. Like, but it's the volume, it's the scale, it's seeing it all together. It's just so impactful. Like, yeah, as you said, one of their friends literally came over by halfway, I think, I'd say 3 month mark. Their friend came over with a shopping bag and did his weekly shop because they had so much food that was, you know, they were salvaging and they were, it's basically called skip diving. And all this food is perfectly good, but a lot of supermarkets actually lock their bins. I know my local does. I've had a look now.
So you can't jump in it, basically.
No, you can't take it. But that food is just going to waste. Mm-hmm. And is it even going to compost? Is it going to landfill? We do not know. So it's a lot. It's a lot to take. And it's just being mindful that the supermarket is laid out in a way that they want you to buy more. And I guess the next step for us is to take a look at what we can do. And we took a quiz. We wanted to break it up.
Love a good quiz. Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. So this group called the Project Drawdown, and they had a quiz called Climate Solutions Quiz, which jumped right out at us. The quiz was outlining their top solutions for climate change, for what policymakers can do, what industries can do, but most importantly, what we can do. So, Katie, what do you think would be more beneficial for environment? Are you ready?
Okay, hit me.
Okay, your options are eat a plant-heavy diet, compost your waste, or throw away less food. So which one do you think would be more beneficial to the environment?
Okay, well, I think based on just there being so many news stories about it, I'm going to say eating like a plant-heavy or plant-based diet is the best thing that you can do.
I have to say that you're wrong.
Hey!
I know. I literally would have assumed the same thing. But the top thing as an individual that you can do to curb climate change is actually to throw away less food.
Okay, that actually is really surprising.
It is. And it's on a, such a level that we can't even think about. But if you, it basically, this trumps eating a plant-based diet and is the equivalent of taking 495 million cars off the road.
That is actually crazy. That is crazy.
Yeah. So really, guys, We're here to talk about food waste, and it's really important. So with this in mind, let's have a look at what we can do.
So it is extremely important for us to kind of figure out what we can do. But before we even get into that, I think it's so important to kind of have a bit of a reckoning and realize that overall, we've all kind of just lost connection with our food and where it comes from. And I think one thing that definitely scared me to my very core when I was researching this, myself and Clodagh end up in these kind of existential holes throughout our research of these episodes.
We have a lot of dance breaks.
A lot of dance breaks. Like, let's just put on Beyonce. But one thing that I looked up was that for every glass of milk that you pour down the sink, you're actually throwing away 1,000 litres of water, because that is what went into making just that one glass of milk.
I mean, 1,000 litres of water. I mean, what even is that?
I know. So in our last episode, we kind of equated that to certain amount of years of your drinking water, but 1,000 litres is essentially 28 showers, so nearly a month's worth of your showers in one glass of milk.
In one glass of milk.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of just realising that there are resources that go into making our food, and there's a process. So it's just about just showing our food some love and just thinking twice before we throw something away. You know, Clodagh, you know what I'm trying to say?
I do. I mean, obviously, the last few weeks have been eye-opening and looking at my own behavioural change. And I was thinking back when did I even realise about food waste? And it was at a festival in 2005, the heat wave of 2005. And I mean, I've been camping as a kid. I love camping, but this was my first festival at Oxygen, disclaimer. But we brought our food and we obviously had no place to cool it. We had literally packaged food and we went to sleep. The next morning, woke up, all our food was spoiled. It was like literally sizzling in the heat, and we were just left with it. We were staring at it being like, this is gone. Like, we have just wasted this. That was my first moment that I realized, wow, I've created this waste and I need to take some responsibility, you know?
I know, it's kind of like when it's just in front of you, it's really visceral. You just kind of get a bit of a shock, don't you? Absolutely. We kind of all just need to spend some time in our bins.
Open your bin, have a look,
stick your head in there. Yeah, but I think my whole kind of reckoning and eye-opening experience was I did a 6-week course with Stop Food Waste.
Oh yeah, tell me about that.
There were kind of a few main things that I took away from that, other than being awarded Master Composter, what can I say?
Oh my god, Katie, the Master Composter. Your new title.
I swear I don't have the certificate in my bag right now. No, I actually don't. But there were kind of a few things that I really took away from that. One thing being how much money we can save and how much money we're throwing away. Clodagh, would you throw money in your bin?
No.
Exactly. And apparently we are doing that. So in Ireland, per household on average, we are wasting and throwing away 700 to 1,000 euros worth of food every single year.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. And that kind of equates, if we're going to put it down to just fun times, that equates to a holiday, really, doesn't it?
I'd like a holiday. But my food waste pay for my holiday?
Yeah, pretty much, exactly. So you can save money simply by, you know, preventing food waste. Another thing that blew my mind as well was I came back after my travels and I was like trying to be all this eco-warrior, but I was never looking at my food. And I didn't realize, but by putting your food in the wrong bin, so for example, in your black bin, this is contributing to climate change. What happens is if your food goes into the black bin, it actually ends up in landfill. And with that, it starts to compress and it can't breathe because there's no oxygen. And it starts to produce a gas called methane. And methane apparently is 30 times stronger than CO2 as a greenhouse gas.
Okay, so food waste needs to go in your compost bin, which could be a brown bin, but it might be a different color, but it lives there. It needs to go there. Otherwise, we're suffocating it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. No, we are actually suffocating it. That is a perfect way of describing it. And apparently in Ireland, it's a third of organic waste?
Oh yeah, it is from the EPA. Yeah. A third of the organic waste is lost to our general bins. So your, whether it's your black bin, whatever the color, it's literally lost to landfill. Mm-hmm. And it could be composted, yeah?
Yes, exactly. And I think it's worth noting that, you know, every household is actually by law entitled to a brown bin. So, you know, if you don't have one, definitely ask for it. So, yes, let's look at what we can do and look at some solutions, Clodagh, because I feel like some good stuff.
Yes, let's do it.
Woohoo!
Okay, guys, we're back and we have a handy slogan for this food waste episode. So food waste is now your new BFF.
BFF.
Okay, so it's all you need to remember. BFF. So we're talking brown bin. We're talking fridge and we're talking freezer. BFF. Okay, so starting with your brown bin, if you don't have one, definitely get one. You can contact your local authority. You're completely entitled to one and you will be saving all that food waste from ending up in landfill and producing all of that methane. So really get on it.
Yeah, because I was, when I did this course, which yes, I will stop talking about it at some point, I was definitely a newbie to all of this. So there were people in my course who didn't have any food waste whatsoever. So my first step was actually getting a brown bin. And it seemed so simple. I was like, why don't I do this? But then it all made perfect sense.
And there's actually a great course online on stopfoodwaste.ie as well, right? So that's free. So you could do that. Or there is a great page called Food Waste Diversion Project. And it's on Facebook. And they basically take you through composting demos, how to home compost and tips and tricks, which is really useful. And also, if you're in an apartment, you could look up things like wormeries. I mean, I don't do that, but there are options. So you've got options for your brown bin, but use the brown bin.
Yes. And genuinely, stopfoodwaste.ie is a really amazing resource. You can't go wrong with just having a quick gander at that. And then the next one is fridge. So we need to just all open our fridge and just take a good look, because that is actually one of the kind of first places that we can make a change. So planning where possible is kind of what we're advocating today. So it's just so important to start using what we have. And I've definitely heard, like, I remember in home ec, it was like, you know, because they were even talking about food waste back then, but it's, you know, take a picture of your fridge before you go shopping, and you kind of roll your eyes at that, but it makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. But now we have technology to help us.
So not only, you know, can we take a picture of our fridge, but we can actually now take a picture of our receipt. And there's a great app called, I think it's called Evoco, and you can take a picture of your receipt, you know, when you've done your shop, and it can tell you actually your carbon footprint of your shop, which is so cool.
That's so cool.
But in terms of actually meal planning and using what you have, that would be, you know, the main focus. So there's a great website called Recipes Key, so you can actually type in the different ingredients that you have in your cupboard or in your fridge, and it will actually generate a recipe for you with what you have, which is so cool.
That is brilliant. I'm always making weird meals of things left over. So if there is actually a recipe for that, I'm all in.
I know, exactly. And there's also some great apps called Meal Board and No Waste. So they can basically input what you've got and they take an inventory essentially of your fridge or your cupboard. You can scan receipts and it can tell you, you know, so say you don't have time or you're out for the day and you've forgotten to take a picture of your fridge, you could just check your app and you know what you've got in your cupboard. So there's a lot to help you out there in terms of planning and embracing your fridge and what you have.
Yeah, I actually took a good hard look at my fridge and I actually made a box, which I find is the simplest thing to do. It's called the Eat Me Now box. So it's just, I've actually started reusing like kind of medium soft plastic, you know, the containers, like your tubs and trays of fruit and veg. And I've put them into the fridge. And so I can see the food that needs to be eaten first. And it's so simple and it's working.
That is actually really, really good. And in terms of kind of like storing your food, like you're saying there, it's really important to know where to store your food and what next to. So for example, bananas give off an enzyme and they end up ripening or over-ripening like anything that's next to it. So you're best to keep bananas on their own, apparently. And there's a few other things as well.
Yeah, like tomatoes on their own, apples on their own. If you're looking at berries, only wash them as you're about to eat them, mm-hmm. because it will actually create mold if you wash them and put them back in the fridge, which is really good to know. And then if you, look at your potatoes, they need to be pretty gloomy and very dark and dry place. And my favorite thing was actually bringing lettuce back to life. I mean, how many salads do I have in a bag that kind of wilt and just look so sad? And Katie was like, you got to try this, the water experiment.
Yeah, so it's actually really cool. So with spinach, for example, you know, the way everyone I feel has that bag of spinach or rocket in the back of their fridge that they just leave there to die a lonely death. But what you can actually do is you can take it out of its plastic wrapping, put it into a storage container like a Tupperware, and just fill a little bit of water at the bottom and put the lid back on, and I swear it comes back to life. Then also like celery or, you know, broccoli or chard or whatever, you just chop off the ends and stick them in a glass of water. So you're basically treating them like fresh flowers, and I swear they last for up to about 2 weeks. It's so cool.
That is just such a simple way to think of it. It's like it's a living thing.
Exactly.
Okay. And our final F, so we have bin, we have fridge, and now we have freezer. So the freezer is your friend. So if you're thinking meal prep, you want to freeze your dinners. I've started reusing glass jars and putting a lot of stuff in there, but you have to make sure to leave like maybe 2 to 3 centimeters at the top. Otherwise your glass will crack, which is not ideal.
Also, as well as kind of spinach and lettuces like that wilting, I always find I'm left with herbs, but you can freeze your herbs, which is a great tip. And then also things like lemons. I always find that most recipes are like, just use half a lemon and then you're left with the other half. But if you slice that up, put that into, you know, your ice trays and put it into the freezer, you've got lovely zesty ice ready to rock for when you're entertaining people.
Oh, hello, hostess with the mostess over here. I'm going to your house for the next party. Pre-lemon sliced ice. Okay, I'm down for that.
Yeah. So overall, the freezer is your friend because it is prolonging the life of our food. So yes, we need to embrace a freezer.
Absolutely. So other things that we can do. Mm-hmm. Okay, buy local. You know, think about it. If you want to support your local farmer's market, maybe get some of that wonky veg in. You know, you're lowering the carbon footprint of the journey of the food. You could join your local food co-op. There's a lot of grow it yourself groups that you could look up. Maybe there's one in your local community, but it's like literally buying local, supporting your local, you're lowering the emissions of the food that's being grown, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And then another really simple thing is just use your voice. Tell those supermarkets, those sneaky supermarkets, that you would love some wonky veg and that you're okay with that. But it's not all just down to us. So there are some really great initiatives and social enterprises here in Ireland as well. So one particular one that we're a massive fan of is Food Cloud. They help divert meals that would ordinarily go to landfill to charities. So they actually link up through technology supermarkets and charities. And so far, they've actually managed to save 45 million meals from landfill, and they've gone to people, which is just so cool. And yeah, so that's just one initiative.
So Food Cloud also partnered with Falling Fruit, and they help with gleaning. So gleaning is when, imagine you have a harvest of apples and there's still loads left on the ground, essentially. Mm-hmm. And they would help with a team of volunteers who would come in and they would pick up the excess. So maybe it's the ugly fruit that gets left behind. They would organize these meetups, which is amazing. So you could, you know, clean yourself if you wanted. And they even do bread rescues, if you can imagine. I picked up some bread from, I think it was Dunn Stores one day, and I had a trolley full of bread. And they are still looking for like volunteers and drivers. So contact Falling Fruit if you want to get interested in them.
Mm-hmm. And there's some really cool initiatives worldwide as well. So there's a company called Misfit Foods. They actually started with Misfit's Juicery, I think it was. And they were making kind of smoothies and juices out of like fruit and veg scraps, which is really cool. And then there's like an initiative, is it Toast Ale? So they're making beer out of toast or bread?
Yeah, so I think it's like stale bread and they're turning it into some good old fashioned ale. I mean, we're very resourceful and we have all the solutions. We just need to really rethink our food waste. And another thing that we watched was a TED talk from Tristram Stewart, and he started an international movement called Feeding the 5,000. And actually the Irish NGO Voice took on this project as well, and they hosted various food rescues all across Ireland, and they also have a great food resource on food waste. So if you want to look them up and get in touch with them, please do.
Thank you for listening to the second episode of Climate Queens. So we realised there was a lot of information in all of that, but if you're going to take away anything from today, it is to treat your food like it's your BFF. So just make sure to look at your bin, your fridge and your freezer if you're going to start anywhere.
And if you want to know more, you can check out any of the amazing initiatives we've mentioned. The links will be in the show notes as always. And if you want something to watch relating to food waste, we really recommend watching Just Eat It.
So if you've enjoyed this episode and are listening on iTunes, please make sure to rate, review and subscribe so that more people can find us. And everyone else, please share with your friends. And you can always follow us on Instagram at Climate Queens Podcast. As always, shout out to Ben for the loan of his mics and April, our editor extraordinaire. But really, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back on the last Friday of June with a very special episode. We'll be live from
Body and Soul Festival. So exciting. So keep an eye on our Instagram for more details.
Bye.